It's The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. Creech, what do we need to know today?
Well, the NHL wraps up its schedule pre-All-Star weekend with a couple of pretty good tilts. At 7:30, the Maple Leafs host the Bruins. Boston, I guess you could call it, is in a bit of a slide considering the 38-7-5 on the year, taking on the Maple Leafs. And with the bees in town, Brad Marchand has stirred up a little chat online, which we're going to get to in a moment. But Maple Leafs and Bruins. And then Canes, who are having almost an equally as impressive season as the Bruins at 33-9-8, visit the Sabres, who are in the hunt for a playoff spot. So two pretty good games to wrap up the pre-All-Star break schedule. Before the All-Star stuff happens this weekend. And the rest of the team's on a break. That's the NHL. John Herdman says he's staying put. There was a report last night by a New Zealand blog report that Canada's men's soccer coach had agreed to take over the All Whites. Herdman and Canada Soccer, put out a statement today saying success at this level will always invite opportunity. I've received several offers in the recent months, all of which I've turned down, including an offer from New Zealand Football. To our Canadian players and our fans, I want to reiterate my commitment to Canada soccer and the growing of this program. At the World Cup in Qatar, our men showed the world that they belong at that level. I'm not going anywhere. We still have a job to do, and the objective is to take this team to the next level in 2026. So Herdman staying put. He's under contract until 2026. And how about the GOAT, Tom Brady, saying he's retiring for good? Of course, he did announce the same thing last year. This one, I think, feels for real, as Brady, at about 8 this morning, released a video saying that he's retiring from the NFL. And that's what you need to know, Aaron John. Cam Clement.
A couple of other hockey notes I want to talk to you about. First, Connor Bedard. Over 7,000 last night in Red Deer to watch him play, and that's a record crowd in the Centrium. They've hosted World Juniors before. I went there in 1995 for multiple Canada World Junior games. Tonight, sold out Saddle Dome, 19,289 to see Connor Bedard. So
wow.
The Connor Bedard show, I think what we're going to see over the second half of the season is there's probably a realization over, you know, and it's been difficult, right? Because COVID, like he played in the bubble in Regina, and then they played like the OHL. They didn't cross over last year, right? So, and last year, you know, for a long time, the arenas weren't even open. And so this year, it's back to normal times inside the rinks. No masks and no half capacity or empty buildings or anything like that. But I think since what we saw at the World Juniors, there was a realization that, holy cow, this guy is possibly going to be one of the best to ever play the game. And, oh, yeah, this is my last chance to see him at this level. You're going to see the Connor Bedard show over the next few weeks in the Western Hockey League. Wherever he goes, it seems like it's going to be sellout crowds, and that's great for the sport.
That's awesome. The guy's a freak, and that's really cool to see. And you know that feel of packing those junior barns. I know the Saddle Dome is a different story, but just the energy, as we've spent a lot of time talking about your junior hockey tour, that new one install coming up shortly, but the energy in those buildings is fantastic. And just watching him last couple years and on the biggest stage of the World Juniors, obviously he's a special talent and good for those buildings, good for him. Can't wait to see him at the next level.
Yeah, junior hockey tour, by the way, is probably going to continue this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah, nice. I'm looking at, well, there's no NFL this weekend,
yep.
Right? No Sens. Girlfriend's working a couple of days, so... Looking at the old schedule right now, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to go hit from a Junior A or Junior B perspective. 67s are on the road this weekend, by the way, and Kenny Wall's hitting the road tomorrow. They're off to Saginaw and Flint. So, yeah, looking forward to something this weekend from a junior hockey perspective. But, by the way, that's one that's on my calendar when it comes to the 67s. Really looking forward to what should be hopefully a deep playoff run again for Ottawa. But on my calendar for the 67s, Saginaw is here on March the 4th. And that's Michael Misa, right? He's had a heck of a season as a 15-year-old. I think probably after Bedard, that's the next we're going to be talking about potentially as a number one pick, and hasn't disappointed. 47 points in 38 games as a 15-year-old playing for the Saginaw Spirit. They're going to be bidding for the Memorial Cup next year. That's why Ottawa was able to trade for Pavel Minchikov as a 19-year-old, because he'll be going pro next year and trying to build around that team next year with already a very good team, but with Misa front and center as a 16-year-old. Hopefully Saginaw gets it. Would love to see Saginaw host a Memorial Cup. Always enjoyed my trips there. Always felt it was a really good junior hockey town, and hopefully they're able to showcase that next year. But March the 4th, that's another date to circle. There's some others. February 9th is the big Ottawa-Gatineau game here, and then they'll play, I believe, February 12th, which is Super Bowl Sunday, in Gatineau. But a lot of great hockey coming up on both sides of the river with two great teams here right now in the 67s and the Olympiques.
You're getting requests already for this weekend.
Okay.
Carleton Place.
That's it's high on my list.
And Mooresburg.
Okay. Mooresburg is Junior C, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. The afternoon tilt, right? I was gonna ask the mayor of Carleton Place if he was interested in going.
I was gonna say I haven't looked at the schedule.
Richmond's playing Sunday as well.
Yes,
by the
way, always play Sunday at home, and I was gonna say that, but I will be heading Sunday afternoon to with our buddy Steve Bunda to record an episode with Mr. Tolkien.
Oh, there
so
you go.
I won't be able to. Don't choose Richmond this weekend. Well, you can, but I won't be there.
No, I think Carleton Place is probably a good bet. So last year I went to 9 of the CCHL rinks of the 12 and 3 Junior B rinks. Now, one of the things, it's kind of about trying to decide, okay, who's going to be in the playoffs as well. No, I think Carleton Place is going to be in the playoffs. They got a pretty good team again. But one of the things, like, I've got vacation planned.
How do you still have vacation?
Well, no, it's a new year.
Oh, it starts in January?
Yeah.
See, I have different rules than you, I think.
Yeah, no, it's like that was, and you have, what you have to understand last year was that was build up not only from last year, but beyond that. Look at the Red Blacks Atletico schedule this summer and how many Saturday, Sunday games.
Mm.
Yeah. Trust me, it all
works. I need
works
to get
out.
In on this this plan and schedule, though.
Well, yeah, well, working 7 days a week is great, right? I mean,
hey, I do it.
No, anyways.
Just pulling a Dave Smart on you.
Trust me, I love working, but I also love the one thing I love more than working, because I do love working. Like, if you were to say to me, you get 2 weeks off, you're just going to sit at home, I'd be like, well, that sounds very boring. I'd rather come in and talk about sports and go call games. I mean, that's what I love to do. Pumped to be calling Capital Hoops this week. It's one of my favorite things to do every year. So really excited about that. So, yes, I love to work more than sitting around. But there's one thing I like more than any of that, and that's traveling. So, yeah, I make the most of it, and I'm going to make the most of it again in the spring before – again, I don't go anywhere for 6 or 7 months. But so back to what I was saying, it's about building a schedule around, I want to see these teams in the playoffs. But just because you're getting to the playoffs doesn't mean I'm going to be able to see you in the playoffs. Mm. And so that's where I think I want to see Carleton Place this weekend, because I have to knock off the other three CCHL teams for sure. Rockland is a maybe to make the playoffs. Nepean isn't going to make the playoffs from the looks of it, the Raiders and Carlton Place will be in the playoffs, but there's no guarantee that they're there when I'm back. The Junior B playoffs start, like the end of the regular season in Junior B is February 26th. So the Junior B playoffs start a lot earlier than that. The Junior A playoffs start at the end of March. Anyways, love this time of year, just even thinking about playoffs. Here we are, February 1, and you can start to think about minor hockey playoffs, Junior B playoffs, Junior A playoffs, WHL and OHL and QMJHL playoffs, and so on and so forth. And then it leads into the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is always fantastic, especially round one. But certainly we're hoping that the next few months is going to bring us at least some hockey that's going to be interesting for the local population, right? And that means, as we were talking about earlier, hopefully the Ottawa Senators build on what they did in these last four games and have a real good next five games just to kind of keep it that much more interesting into February.
Yeah, no kidding, man. As I told you, I have never hit Tankathon. I've been to the website, never clicked the simulate. I don't plan on doing it. I don't want to talk about that website again.
Yeah. It would be nice if that phase of Ottawa Senators hockey is over. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like one way or the other. And again, we gave the percentages earlier. Before this four-game win streak, it was 5% to draft number one and just over 2% to make the playoffs. Now it's 11% to make the playoffs and about 2.5% to draft number one. So in a perfect world, I mean, I'd be curious at this point in time where the Sens are at and where they've been the last 5 years. If you were a Sens fan, what would you prefer over the course of the last 30 games? Ensuring that this team is bottom 11, that means more of the same that we've seen over 5.5 years. One step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back, right? Treading water or regressing. Or would you rather just say, you know what, let's just freaking play good hockey. Let's build on this four-game win streak.
I feel like the appetite is there for winning. Like, obviously it is, but I mean now.
Let's
like,
go.
Like, forget talking about Bedard. Like, would it be nice? Of course. But, and I think there's a lot of people that are like, stop talking about playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. And as I've said, I'm not ready to have that conversation yet either. We'll see how they play after the break. But if they can go on a run and at least be in the conversation within a handful of points or less of a playoff spot, I think that's for the best. I think that's what a majority of the fan base is dying for. They've been every year. They're so out of it before the halfway point that even when they go on this second halfway run, it's pointless and it doesn't do a whole lot. But now if they can continue it and get closer to a playoff spot, it's just exciting to see the major parts of this rebuild kind of come to fruition, and you could see what this team could become with some tinkering here and there, plus the ownership situation. Like, I think most people want to see them win some games here.
Yeah, and I'm in that category as well. And look, I'm under no illusions of how difficult it's going to be to make the playoffs, which is probably somewhere around 22-10. But I'd love to see progress. I want to see this group get to around 88, 90 points. And I get that's kind of no man's land, but no man's land at least is progress because this team has been bad for 5 years.
Well, it's not like a Hamburglar run where, like, obviously that was a blast, but it's not like you get that out of nowhere and you're still this mediocre hockey team where what are they? Are they decent? Are they not? And it might cost you one of those guys to add to your team. What was that? That was the McDavid year, I think, right? But they're at the point where they should be competing in the playoffs next year. So it's not like a run that takes them out of position to land one of the top players is going to be crippling because they're building towards not being in that conversation whatsoever anyways.
Well, and one of the things that I remember being at Edmonton at the time was, and I'm trying to think, I think it was 94, 95. They had a couple of awful seasons. And then they came back in 94, 95. And they actually made it interesting down the stretch. And it was one of those things that, like, I was never an Oilers fan growing up. But then I just kept going to games. Always, like, my dad had season tickets in the 80s. And so I'd go to 10 to 15 games a year. And then I just keep going to games. Like, I was now an adult, 93, 94. Like, they're really bad in 92, 93. And I just keep going to games. And eventually, you started to kind of like them. That's how I became an Oilers fan, was actually the mid-90s, not in the 80s. And I believe it was 94, 95, the strike year. Yeah, it is. I'm looking at it right now. They had this run down the stretch where they won. They went 5-2-1. And it put them in the last handful of games of the season. There were three games left in the season. And if they had won those three games, they would have been in the playoffs. And they ended up, Bill Ranford had this mysterious illness, and local legend Freddie Brathwaite came in. He ended up playing that game against the Jets, and they lost 5-1. And I was at that game, but I was at a bunch of the games before that. They won a couple of overtime games, and the building was rocking. And even though, like, they didn't make the playoffs, they didn't even make the playoffs the next year, it just felt good to be in the building, to be alive again with those games down the stretch where it was like, maybe they can, right? And,
well, look what we saw the last few games.
Yeah.
Where in Ottawa against a hated rival, where you smoked them 5-0, you 6-2 win over the Leafs the night before, and then last night with the back-and-forth third period and Brady and Stützle gesturing towards the crowd after their goals. That's like, Sens fans were hyped up last night in those last three games. So that's, you want more of that rather than it being the beginning of February and they're 10 or 15 points out and you're just waiting for the season or the trade deadline to come and go and then the season to be over.
And that's the thing. That's why I target that 88 point range. And don't get me wrong, like, you'd love to see 94, 95, but
why not 100, AJ?
If you get to 88, 89, somewhere in there, and the playoff cut line is at 94 or 95, then it feels like there's going to be some games that mean something, right? That you're like, man, if you win this game here tonight, this could be something. They haven't shown the consistency all season to lead you to believe that it's going to happen. And again, there's a lot of teams to catch, but dare to dream. And this group, at the very least, is going into the break with some positive momentum. It looks like slotting's a little bit better since Ridly Gregg has arrived. They've got some real good pieces here. And those pieces seem to be, I mean, Brady Tkachuk's having a career year. Tim Stützle is having a career year. And you know what? On that note, when we come back, we'll get to our web poll question of the day. Has to do with Tkachuk, Stützle, Sanderson, Claude Giroux. As we continue with this Wednesday edition of The Drive on TSN 1200. The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. Our TSN 1200 web poll question of the day for the Tool and Equipment Store. And it has to do with the Ottawa Senators. Who's been Ottawa's most important player in the first 50 games? Is it Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, Claude Giroux, or Jake Sanderson?
The way I voted on this, I had a similar question on Creech for the Top a week or two ago. Must have been at least a couple weeks ago, I guess, now. It was worded a little differently, but my answer was Jake Sanderson. And the way that I'm going to explain it is, like, do I think that somebody else is Ottawa's MVP? Yeah, probably. But Jake Sanderson, I can't imagine where this team would be without him. we were all hoping and expecting him to jump into the NHL as a top four defenseman, and he's done that and more. And you think about the injuries to Shabbat and Zub, where this blue line would be without his presence in every aspect of the game, 5-on-5, shorthanded, power play. There's no way they'd be even where they are right now, not even close. And he's taken the heat off of, not completely off of, but a little bit off of not having that top four defenseman that they were supposed to find, or that they were looking, that they were trying to find to start the season and into even up to this point. That's why I picked Jake Sanderson. Do I think he's been their MVP? No. But this team without him, oh my goodness, I couldn't even believe it. He's lived up to and passed every expectation 50 games into the year.
So I'm glad you answered that way, because I've been accused of basically putting Jake Sanderson into the Hall of Fame.
Simmer's got Zub in, you've got Jake in.
Yeah, I voted Brady Tkachuk. I thought it was a difficult decision over Tim Stützle, because both have taken major strides this season, but I voted Brady Tkachuk. He does lead the team in scoring. He's taken a big step.
He's the heartbeat.
He is the heart and soul of the hockey team. So yeah, I voted Brady Tkachuk, but I think all four, there's merit to all four, because Tkachuk and Stützle have both taken big steps this year. Claude Giroux has been so valuable in terms of his leadership. Had someone tell me the other day, there'd be a lot of teams around the league that could use a Claude Giroux for a playoff run or two, right? Just what he brings, leadership, experience, and still playing at a very high level.
He might set a career high in goals scored in a season at 35 years old. His career high is 34.
And then there is Jake Sanderson, where I feel like he might end up being the most important person playing-wise in the organization. And there are some pretty important players here. But I feel if you had to say, okay, one guy is untouchable, I'd probably start there, just given the importance of that position on the blue line and how good he has been right from day one. And there hasn't been a game, like Dave Smart talks about, how good are you on your bad days, right? You might be real good on your good days, but when you get, everyone's going to have good days and bad days. How good are you on your bad days? He's made mistakes, right? But he's in a position full of players that make mistakes. I haven't seen too many bad days. Like,
I remember that first preseason game in Toronto. He gave, like, the split squad day. I think he gave himself a C-. And it was his first ever reps in the NHL, and it was like everyone was like, man, Jake Sanderson was good today. And I believe that game his roster was, I don't want to say weaker, but had featured the less NHL skill than the other one. I think it was close to 50-50, but I believe his was slightly weaker, and he was like, right away it was like, okay, it's one game in the preseason, very small sample size, but you got a glimpse right away, and he was like, yeah, I was about a C-. Okay. Can't wait to see the A-plus game.
There's been a few. Yeah. There's been a lot of just A's, right?
Sorry. Text came in. AJ, did I hear right? You brought a Jake Sanderson cake to a party?
Not yet. No Sanderson cakes yet. You do need to make the Hall of Fame before you get a cake. The way it works. All right, we'll take a break. Still want to hit on Tom Brady, Brad Marchand, and much more between now and 6 o'clock as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200. It's The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. Tom Brady calling it a career today. We just talked to biggest Bucks fan in Ottawa.
I actually know Steve a couple, Bunda, like legitimate.
Brandon Mackey's another.
I have a couple buddies I played football with way back in the day that I remember them having like Mike Allstott jerseys and Warren Sapp jerseys. So there's a handful. Craig Medaglia, he's a Bucks guy too. Like I know randomly like six Bucks fans in Ottawa, which I feel is,
and they're all
like legit. Yeah, like not like
Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Six legit Bucks fans.
Because I feel like if you're
I'm not talking
Bucks
about Patriots
fan,
fans.
Yeah, if you're a Bucks fan because of Brady, I'm sorry. Like unless you're 8 years old now, right?
Yeah,
you started when you're five or six. You're not a Bucks fan. Tough luck. So, not surprised. I mean, I don't think you were surprised either by this, but how do you think this shapes the market around the NFL when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders? What they do, given the fact that they've already said they're trading Derek Carr. Feel like it's going to be a fascinating offseason. And I feel like all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers probably has a little more leverage as the best guy that's going to be out there along with Derek Carr. Those are two pretty good quarterbacks that are going to be available this offseason. How do you see things shaking out?
I don't know how much. I don't think this impacts how I view the offseason and the shuffling. I don't think it impacts it tremendously. Like it's another person, obviously, and a legendary one at that. But I do believe that, like, I think Aaron Rodgers would probably be at this stage, based on after this season, maybe I'm talking myself out of it, but probably if you had your choice as a team between Tom and Aaron Rodgers, where you're going there. I don't think it impacts it a whole lot. It just is one guy off the board, I guess. So it could make teams a bigger player if they thought that they had a chance at one guy or another. Interesting to see how it falls out.
So here's...
You got the odds updated?
Yeah, I love these odds.
I know. I love when you have them.
So Jets quarterback in week one. Right now, Aaron Rodgers leading the way at plus 150.
Really?
Yeah. Followed by Lamar Jackson, plus 400. And then Derek Carr and Jimmy G at plus 450. That's ahead of Mike White and Zach Wilson, amongst others.
If you had, you did ask me this, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, Derek Carr was my guy for the Jets.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if Rodgers ends up in New York, and let's say, I mean, right now, Jared Stidham is actually the betting favorite to be the week one quarterback for the Raiders. Now, he did play well the last week of the season, so there's that. Followed by Jimmy G at plus 200, and then Aaron Rodgers plus 450. So it feels like, okay, let's say Rodgers does go to the Jets. Let's say Stidham is the starter for the Raiders. Although I feel like if Rodgers doesn't go to the Jets, I feel like he'll end up in the Raiders. Then what happens with Derek Carr? And then Aaron Rodgers' numbers, plus 150 to the Jets, but the other teams that are in there, not just the Raiders at plus 450, but the Niners at plus 400.
Yeah, I feel like the Niners need to do something, right?
I have a hard time thinking they're not going to come back with Brock Purdy at number one and Trey Lance at number two. But
Purdy's out for 6 months, though, and you don't know if he's going to be healthy, right? And he doesn't have an offseason to improve. So doesn't that maybe encourage them more so?
And even still, you haven't got an entire glimpse, in my opinion, of what he could be. Like, I think you got a pretty good one in the divisional round? In one half of football. Or was that the wild card? I don't know. Anyways.
Divisional?
Yeah, that was divisional. Can you come back with two guys that are going through major injuries?
Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers would be a fit in San Francisco.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they need, don't you have to do something? Because listen to Kittle's comments too after, and I'm sure how the entire franchise is feeling. We lost a chance to go to the Super Bowl because we're on our fourth-string quarterback. And maybe Philadelphia, the better team anyways, but we don't know that.
Yeah.
And this is multiple seasons now where something like this, a devastating injury, has cost them at the quarterback position.
Aaron Rodgers, the one thing he is, he's available, right? He is a guy that, like, they drafted Jordan Love, and we've barely seen him. No injuries. So he's pretty reliable guy in terms of being available each and every week. I'd love to. Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco, I mean, the storylines, right? Doesn't get along great with his family. That is Northern California's home. Of course, they passed on him in the draft. He's always held that as a bit of a chip on his shoulder. Will he continue to hold it as a chip on his shoulder and go elsewhere? But, I mean, in the end, it's the Packers who hold a lot of the cards right now as well. Fascinating situation. It's never a dull moment in the NFL.
365-day league.
Yeah. And the numbers, both south of the border and north of the border, television-wise, I mean, just really good numbers. And on a day where the NHL, down 22%, it says, year over year, in terms of national television audience in the United States.
Earlier, I was sharing my story about watching the AFC title game. I don't know how I blanked on this. Maybe it was the alcohol consumption throughout the entire week. The NFC game we watched in the main pool. It was amazing. They had this huge screen. I don't even know how big it was. It was massive. Every night they had performances there, and they put the NFC Championship game on in that pool, and there's swim-up bars and everything. So, yeah, we were in the pool for that game. That was amazing. I don't know how I forgot that earlier when I shared my story. God, sorry, you're just talking about the numbers. Because the numbers were pretty good in Cancun as well.
Yeah, sounds like it. Whether it's...
I'll show you a picture later. It's awesome.
Beverages consumed or hours watched of football. Glad you had an awesome time.
Great food. You would have loved the food.
Oh, you're telling me about that.
10 out of 10.
Mexican, Japanese, Italian.
Yeah, Indian. Am I forgetting anything? There's a bunch. Test them all. Fantastic.
Take our top hour break. When we come back, we'll have a CFRA news update. I'll have what you need to know. And then it's hour four of The Drive. AJ Creature and Cam Clement says The Drive on TSN 1200.